I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
And I'm April, sex toy maven, VP of Hot Octopus, and I've dedicated my life to the business of sex. We're two people with a passion for educating and inspiring shame-free conversations about sex and relationships.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back to the Shameless Sex Podcast. Okay, so this episode is coming out after Anal August. Mm. The end. Well, not the end. The
beginning. I call it Shameless Sextember.
Yeah, but it's also men's health awareness month, or men's sexual health awareness, or men's. No, it's the cancer. Oh, my God. You said that it is cancer awareness for men's sexual health.
Well, listen to the episode because we are not Googling it right now. Yeah. He does say exactly what September is about. And there's a lot of.
I know it is still Sexual Health Awareness Month or Health Awareness Month, something like that. So maybe I don't know. But he said it specifically about cancer and other health-related issues. And he's talking from perspective of pleasure with prostates and with penis-owning bodies and also health benefits or health issues, but how to exercise and massage your prostate for more pleasure and better health.
Right. We dive deeper than we ever have with Forrest.
I love getting deep with Forrest.
Yes, and he develops incredible products for Aneros, and he's a wealth of knowledge. I think he was an engineer before that, and then he entered into the sex toy world and has never left.
Aneros makes some of the best prostate products on the market. They're amazing. We talk about it more.
We're not even sponsored by them. We just have them on the show because we love them.
We use them.
Yeah. Since Pure Pleasure brick and mortar days.
In 2008, we started selling them. We sold them like hotcakes. And speaking of, if you hear anything on the show that you want to buy, we have them at purepleasureshop.com. My mom's sex shop. I own it with her too. Online sex pleasure boutique. Go to purepleasureshop.com. Use coupon code shamelesssex to get 15% off of all of your Aneros and more.
And more.
And more.
And guess what else we have for you all?
Ooh, is it a car?
We have a new Ferrari for each of you.
You and you. That'd be really cool.
That would be incredible. And no, that's not what we have. But we have something that's going to last a lot longer than a Ferrari. It's our book.
Woo!
Also titled Shameless Sex. It's kind of like a choose your own adventure, but it's a choose your own pleasure path to finding the sex life that you've always wanted to unlock. And it's deeper than the podcast. We've got a ton of episodes, 350 plus probably at this point. And this book is a deep dive. It's not just about Amy and I. It's a book that will guide you through all of your sexuality journey, right?
Yeah. Finding who you really are as a sexual being, but also like any sort of challenges that come up and something you can visit time and time again. Like, okay, now I have this new thing.
We have challenges.
Or new questions.
And we learn every week from the folks on our show. We still have challenges. So we put all of our heart and soul into this book.
For 2 years.
Yep. And it'll be out November 14th. But we're encouraging you because we created a special exclusive gift. And it's an online, it's a workshop, but it's entertainment and you'll get some awesome tips that Amy and I created. We also spent a lot of time. It's beautifully shot. Mm. And
we might be wearing lingerie.
And it's free. You just go to our website, shamelesssex.com, and send your proof of purchase that you can click on the large book. You can see what it looks like. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
We help design all of what it looks like, and we're so proud.
Yeah.
My mom cried when I was like, Mom, look,
it's here.
And she's like, no, my daughter, I'm so proud of you.
If you love Shameless Sex, go please support us, but also buy the book because, like April said, it offers something different that's in our show.
And for any people of all ages, sexual orientation, relationship stats. That's what I'm saying. You can buy this for friends. You can buy this for. That's what our goal was, to really speak to as many humans out there that care about sex and relationships as possible. So it is written for you. Yes, you
and you
and you. So yes. I mean, ideally, at some point, I hope that we can educate even people that are in high school and but this
we
right
also
now,
want it at some point written different languages
so translate it so that is what we're encouraging and inviting you to do. It's so easy.
Go to shamelesssex.com.
yeah
mom.
And we appreciate you. We love you.
Oh, did we ever say that you just email us? I already said that.
Well, you just, all the info is on the website.
Yeah.
So just shamelessex.com, click it, buy it. It's $28 and you'll get it a copy in November.
Are you ready for a sex question?
Yeah.
So this is actually a request for a topic, but we're just going to answer it as a sex question right now until we have the topic. But I think we've talked about it a little bit on some episodes, but not a lot. Can you talk about voyeurism and exhibitionism? Why are people interested in this form of play or these forms of play? What are some safe ways that people can explore this that won't cause an issue of consent or not illegal? I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So voyeur, I identify as a voyeur and an exhibitionist.
Well, right. If you mean if people are like, so voyeurism is when you're watching.
You get turned on and enjoy watching people in their erotic state.
Right. And for instance, I've stayed at a hotel before and I was a voyeur because a couple left their windows wide open. It was nighttime. The lights were on. And I was like, wow, this is fucking hot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is that consensual that I'm watching, but their windows are open? I don't know. I'm not saying anything.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm not, but I don't know the room number to call and be like, hey, yo, you're doing a great work over there.
Or like, do I have permission to watch?
Right. And sometimes I know that I have a lot of big windows in my house.
Oh, yeah.
And definitely there's times where I don't put down the blinds and there's my maybe like light backing and I'm banging and I'm like, oh, I wonder if this is not consensual with my neighbors.
So here's the other piece of the exhibitionism. So we can talk about the consent thing about voyeurism. So I want to watch or there's something that turns me on. And the voyeurism I think is usually watching, but what if your neighbors, we're in a hotel room as we're recording this, they're having sex on the other side of the wall, so you can't see them, but you're listening.
Or you drill a hole.
Well, that's not consensual.
That's where the line is drawn.
If they're banging really hard, it's not your job to put earplugs in unless you want to. So that's not creepy. But so going into exhibitionism, that's being turned on or aroused or really enjoying being watched, being the one that's being viewed or witnessed or once.
Bang in a park bench in Central
Park. Yeah, which could also be illegal.
But that is exhibitionism.
Yeah. And so I think one of the things that's really tricky with both of them is that there is this fine line with the consent piece. And so, say I'm sharing the hotel room, or sorry, I'm on the other wall, side of the wall of strangers on the other side. I don't know them or people I know. If people you know, I would ask them before, like, hey, just so you know, we might be really loud tonight. Are you okay with that? And then get that consent for them to like hear you. But you do you. It's a hotel room. You rented it to like have loud sex, maybe. But if you are doing it in a way where I'm going to bang really hard and loud in this hotel and because I get turned on knowing other people might hear me, I personally think that's a little bit of a consent issue. Now, if you're just getting lost in the moment and that's just hot to you to get lost in the moment, you do you again. But like if you're like, I want the whole hotel to hear us, but they don't, I'm not asking them if that's cool, which you can't even do that.
No.
I would be, that's just disrespect in a way of like people are trying to sleep. They might have kids. Right. I don't know.
Well, I think if people are leaving the windows open and banging and
what if it's really hot and you don't have any airflow?
Well, right. But I'm saying I don't think that there's no permission
to be asking.
Yes. And also if you're a voyeur watching, you sort of put it out there for us to see and I'm liking what I see. I don't think that is illegal. I don't know, unless I was really offended. And I don't know that it's technically when you're in a hotel room, I mean, you could really, that it's like your own private space. So unless you're doing something illegal and sex is not illegal if it's two consenting parties or three or four or five or 10.
Well, the two things that came to my mind is the flashers and the peeping toms. Right. So like I think that most people are like, oh, they're all men. They're not all men. So the flashers are the ones who would be an exhibitionist who there. And you've been flashed? I've been flashed too.
I lived in Sevilla, Spain, Sevilla. Uh-huh. And I had a dude that was masturbating on a bus while I was riding the bus behind a newspaper. And
was he looking at you or was he?
Yeah.
Just,
and then I had.
How old were you?
I was 19.
Okay.
But I wasn't.
And you were still traumatic.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't traumatic, but I was like, what is he doing? And then I kind of saw, and then the end, the newspaper sort of dropped. I was with a couple friends that were like, whoa. And then a dude came up when I was, different dude, thankfully, a few months later, and came up, dropped his pants, and just started jerking off in the darkness of the street, which was freaky. And I was just with one other friend.
Scary. Yeah.
And we ran. I said, no me gusta. And then I ran.
Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you tell him.
But so that that is a form of flashing. I haven't had like the trench coat opening where they just like show nakedness. Like that's what I think
the movies.
Of, right. Yeah. The flasher. That's what I think of. But the dropping the drawers and the public masturbation is what I think of as being flashed.
I had an experience. I think I was only like 12 or 13 walking down Mission Street in Santa Cruz with another friend. And this car drove by super slow. This guy. So I don't even know if we were in junior high yet. Oh, I mean, God. We might've been still in sixth grade. I don't know. We're probably, seventh grade, sixth grade. And he's going super slow and we're looking at him and he's totally baiting. He's totally jacking off, going really slow on Mission Street.
Wow.
And we're like, what's he doing? Ah! Yeah. And we were disturbed. Right? We're like, that's not consensual because we just saw you getting off to us, saw your penis or your cock or whatever, saw you baiting. We're like, we're not consenting to that. And we're super young. That's like, that's a little bit too far. And I think even if we weren't young, if I was 60, I'd be like, still not cool. So, and I think with these pieces, when it comes to flashing or let's just say flashing, I'd say is more like the dark side of exhibitionism if it doesn't come with consent. It's like, I have to do this. And a lot of people are flashers. They're getting off to that reaction. They want you to go, whoa, oh my God, you know, and they're not, but if you looked at them, so if you ever see a flasher and you really want to fuck with him, look at him and look the other way like you never saw a thing.
Well, do you remember Basic Instinct, Sharon Stone, when she, it was that movie filmed in, it was like Michael Douglas.
Movie,
oh my God, it's so dope.
I've
you should
it.
Watch
I've
it.
I've seen it. I just don't
remember
movies.
Where she flashes the police officers with their vulva.
Ooh.
And it was like so hot and very, back when it was out, I think late 80s or early 90s. It's such a great movie still.
We didn't watch that vintage movie night one.
That was 9.5 weeks.
Oh, okay.
But that movie kind of, that was flashing.
Yeah.
And all the police, it was her and a bunch of men in a room. She's getting interviewed for murdering someone. And Michael Douglas is in it. And she opens her legs because she's wearing this beautiful white dress that's like kind of turtlenecky, and opens her legs and then keeps crossing them. And all the dudes are like, you know, all the police officers that were interviewing her were just awestruck, and I was like, that is a form of being a flasher.
Socially there's a little more acceptance in vulva owning flashers, but I just say, no matter what, y'all, consent really matters, whether you're packing a pussy, a cock, or all the things.
I mean, my tit was out once when I was at Whole Foods shopping, and I didn't know for how long.
That's
but
not flashing, though. Flashing
I
is intentional.
People were looking at me. I was like, why is everyone staring at me today? And then I was like,
yeah, but that's not, that's
no idea how long I was flashing the tit.
Exhibitionism and flashing as a part of that is intentional.
Yeah.
It is, there's a desire and arousal and turn on to doing this thing. And you can do it in a way where you get permission, where it's safe. Now, if you don't have outlets for this, like don't just go up in your hotel room window and start baiting. That's not a safe and consensual outlet. But here's an idea. Hire a cam person, you know, a cam human, cam girl, cam guy, where you pay them to show your junk to them, to show your pussy, to bait, to touch yourself. That is consensual. That's safe.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if you have a partner and you're like, hey, partner, sometimes can I just like run at you and show you my wang and run away or whatever? You know, you ask people permission or pay people to have these experiences, but don't just do it because you think you're fucking
that's
entitled
like,
to it.
That's like why non-consensual dick pics are just so unwarranted. For me,
oh, fuck that.
And that's
flashing. That's flashing.
That's exactly. That is a form of being an exhibitionist without having consent. And I do not like that. Unless someone says, send me one of your dick shots.
Yeah, we don't want your dick shots, everyone.
No,
over here.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And like if you're going back and forth and playing, I mean, whatever, then obviously there's hopefully an open dialogue. But just to send one on Facebook, which was what I'm like, no
thank you.
So I stopped opening Facebook messages.
Yep.
Well, don't, like, no.
Everyone listening, do not send us one. We will be.
If you see me at Whole Foods and my tit is out, tell me, okay? That's what I want.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
Or I'll be like, yeah, but your tits out.
No, but I was not consenting to my own tipping out. It was an accident. Okay, so
the voyeur, the peeping Tom, though, is more like the voyeurism. Again, this is more like the shadow side of voyeurism because you can do it in a way that is consensual.
It's reactionary, though, right? That's what they're striving for?
No, not necessarily.
Always.
The peeping Tom can be undercover. So they're more sneaky. Like, it's forbidden. So I'm forbidden to see this person. Like the classic thing in a movie is, like, someone's, like, in the shower in their bathroom at home. And your house is on the first story and there's someone, and they say peeping Tom, but again, I don't think it's all just penis owners, but it could be more so. But they're in the window getting off to seeing you, knowing it's a secretive thing, and they're like, but they're not asking permission for this. And that's just one example of it. Whereas voyeurism is not only just shadowy. And, you know, someone identifies as a voyeur and exhibitionist, I get really turned on not as much in porn, actually being in environments where I'm around people who are in erotic energy, including them having sex. And I also get turned on having sex and having people witness it. But I generally only do that at sex parties where it's all consensual. At the sex parties, like the Bonobo Network sex parties, they say, even though someone's fucking next to you, you don't just get to stare. You ask them, do you mind if I watch? You can look, right? It's not that you don't ignore it. Like, I don't see this. But if you're going to stare, you're joining their scene. So you would say, hey, do you mind if I watch? And if they say no, you can watch. You're like, okay, cool. If they say, no, you cannot watch, then you go carry on and you didn't do anything wrong. You asked. But if they say yes, then watch away.
I don't know. I might be so in the moment. I wouldn't even know whether someone else was talking to me. I'd be like, what? What?
Yeah. Well, nice. Yeah, maybe not. And then also, if you don't have time to ask, you can look for like a second. You're like, oh, look, oh, hot sex. Okay, but let me like give them their space so you're not joining in their erotic experience. Because you might ruin it. They might be like, hey, no, we're having sex in this public place, but we don't want you to stare.
I just think there are so many different ways outside of like looking at humans in the flesh, like the physical form. You can, they're like... porn, if you want to be a voyeur and have consent, you can watch voyeur porn.
Or cam be also, well, there is the actually voyeur porn, but there's also camming, once again, paying
there's
someone.
There's exhibition porn where you can watch people fuck on a park bench that was shot somewhere.
But if you're paying someone to watch them now on camera touch themselves, or maybe they're dancing from the camera or just showing you their genitals, and you get to be the voyeur on the other side in a safe, consensual way and helping support people who want to make money.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting question. Yeah. And there you go. You have some tips. And this is going to be a little bit different of a bio time because we did the bio in the interview. So stay tuned and you'll learn about Forrest Andrews from Aneros.
Today we have Forrest Andrews here from Aneros. He's been one of our regular guests on Shameless Sex, and we're delighted to have him back. Again, thank you, Forrest, for being here. For those of you who aren't familiar with Aneros, they are the originators of hands-free, self-powered, anally driven prostate massagers. It all sounds so good.
Yeah, it does.
This is a product that amplifies the strength of ejaculations and unlocks the door, the back door too, to a different kind of experience. A very powerful full body orgasm. Forrest is Aneros' director of product development and a true expert on all things prostate.
Also, though, we like to think of him as the prostate whisperer.
Ooh, the guru of the cis male G-spot orgasm.
Ooh, what about the headmaster of prostate health?
Oh, lovely. Come on, Forrest.
That's that intro was fun.
Yeah, so
that was
kind.
Really fun. I fucked up a little bit, but you're, you know what? Kinds. I'm human. You're a human too, with a prostate, right?
The headmaster. I'm just like picturing him with some sort of paddle in his hand. He's like, "You will listen to me."
I was going more Harry Potter with it myself.
Yeah,
for some reason.
Oh, I don't know.
Like with a wand.
Oh,
like same headmaster. Wand.
Yeah, you could hit with it. Yeah. All right, Forrest. We're super excited to have you back once again on Shameless Sex. I was actually trying to remember earlier. I think it's your fourth time on our show. Episode number 4. So that means you all know that means we love Forrest, and Forrest always has wonderful things to share. So Forrest, even if folks have heard you on our show before, can you please tell our listeners how you got to where you are today in the field of sexuality?
Well, honestly, let's put it this way. I started it on my own, far before I was associated with Aneros, but it was really my association with Aneros that began the serious stuff. By using this product, I was able to discover a heretofore totally unknown, at least to me, whole body orgasm. It was something that was completely beyond my frame of reference at the time. And it was at a period actually for Aneros when, it was actually just before they became Aneros, when they were selling this product as a health device. And I sought it out as a health device, as a matter of fact. And the very first time that I used it, I had a powerful orgasm. And really that started into motion all sorts of different things. I ended up collaborating with them. I became their tester on all of their products. And as a matter of fact, up until 2016, I was the sole tester of Aneros products. Yeah. Mm. And along that way, I learned a lot more about this whole body orgasm that I'm speaking about, how it's generated, how you can extinguish it by kind of the wrong behavior around it. And I learned a great deal about myself, you know, through that whole process. In 2016, they asked me to come on full time with them, and I became their product development manager at that point. But I've been all around the world with them, you know, attending different trade shows and kind of experience being there as their expert on this product. So
you mean the guru of cis male G-spot orgasms?
Yes.
You're like, hello, here I am.
Guilty
with the best
charged
glasses ever. You always have these tinted blue round glasses. If you're not watching this on YouTube, check it out. He doesn't have those on now, but you always have fabulous glasses.
I can go get them if you want.
Well, you know what? Save it for next interview, because you'll definitely be back again. And I love that introduction, because you definitely were in a different field, but I feel like you found your calling. And
yes,
you're such an educated human. And I think your love for prostate health came to play with working with Aneros. And Amy and I have been fans with Aneros. We've been fans for Aneros, all of them for such a long time. And we've talked about this brand so many times, even before you were a guest on the show. And I love seeing you at trade shows. And not only with your tinted blue glasses, but just what Aneros is offering, because it's so different and beautiful. And you really turn the educative piece with prostate health into something that is accessible for a lot of people all over the world. And I think that's something you speak really highly of. So thank you for helping be a part of that.
And, well, thank you.
And
thank
using you. Your butt as a tester.
Your butt as a tester.
I really enjoyed it. Actually, prior to this time, there really wasn't anything like this device at all. I mean, people, you know, if they had the inclination to do something like that, it would be with some kind of a repurposed, you know, G-spot stimulator, you know, which is basically back in those days would be a vibrator with a little curve on the end of it or something like that, you know, hard plastic and awful stuff they used to make. But it was interesting, because when I got into it again, there was really nobody that I could hit up about all of this. And I convinced the company to start a forum. And in that forum, I posted the accounts of my journey, you know, in this particular path. And along the way, met some other people who were doing the same. And we kind of passed all of this knowledge on to everybody that would come in. And it's been a long, strange trip.
It's been a long, strange trip. And anal August, obviously, people talk about a lot more butt stuff during August, at least in not only the sexual health world, but podcasting. We did multiple episodes on anal play and the importance of even prostate health. However, it's no longer August, it's September. And it's also this like another fun time to educate folks on sex and sexual wellness. There's still a theme here. I like to call it shameless sextember, but you know, I know you have something different. Well, can you tell us more about why September in particular is so special?
Well, September is actually National Prostate Cancer and Health Awareness Month.
Oh.
And at least at Aneros, it's very special, because for the last several years, we partnered with Zero the End of Prostate Cancer. Now, this is a charity that provides funds for education, outreach, testing, and research. And over the past 2 years, we have helped to raise $25,000 for them.
Nice.
So,
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're really excited to be continuing that again this year. And we have a special promotion this month. As a part of that promotion, we are releasing the first time ever a special health edition of the Maximus Sin Trident. Now, this is a product that we've never made before, actually. Now, we made the Maximus. And for those of you that are familiar with our products, the Maximus was released back in 2004, and it belongs to some of our legacy products that are made with a rigid thermoplastic. Back in 2012, we started making products that integrated silicone over a rigid core. These are called our Syn products, S-Y-N.
They're soft. They're beautiful. I just want to speak to those, because they have like this nice coating. They're so gorgeous.
Yes. So, but again, these tend to have a different feel to them, as you said. And they have a different action as well. So, and they're really the preference of a lot of our customers. They're our best-selling items. So we decided to put out a Maximus Sin Trident just for this occasion. And we're really excited about it. I mean, the Maximus, this has been talked about in, you know, in our user forum, and it's always topped one of the wish lists. So we're really anticipating, you know, a big response to this. And it would really be good because, you know, the proceeds of the sale of each of these, you know, a portion of that goes to this charity. So we really we're excited about that.
You actually sent us some. So April and I each got some Maximus Trident Sin or Sin Trident, something in that order.
Maximus, right.
Sin Trident.
Yeah. And so, sin like synthesis.
Yeah. And so for everyone out there listening, it's actually still August because we are recording in August right now, but this will go online in September. And so April, you and I only have like 9 more days to implement this in our anal August exploration. I don't know if you've already done it, but it's on my list of things to try with my partner. So we have this out. It's like, you are going to try this. We actually did my ass the other day, so his ass is next, but willingly with consent, of course. So I'm super excited to try the Maximus Sin Trident. Okay, this is combining two questions together. We're going to weave them. Number one, why is it important for penis owners to be in touch with their prostates, in your opinion? And also for our listeners who may be a little fuzzy on what the prostate is or where it is, can you give us a little bit of an overview on it?
Okay. Well, in terms of the importance of being in touch with their prostate, I should put this out there. Prostate cancer is actually the second most common cancer in men in the United States behind skin cancer. So from that aspect alone, it's good to be in touch with your prostate. There are also other problems that are quite common that men don't hear about a lot. Prostatitis is one of them. Chronic prostatitis is kind of a more extreme version of it. I had that.
Is that like an enlarged prostate? Or is that just different?
No, okay. That's different. That's different. Okay. Actually, it is inflammation of the prostate, and the cause of that, you know, there's one direct cause, and that can be bacterial, and that's usually treated with antibiotics. However, there are many men, myself included, that are not responsive to that. And they don't really know why some men get this, but they do. And actually, again, ironically, that's what led me to the Aneros prostate massager. I was looking for some alternative therapy for that. So, yes. So, again, prostatitis is another. BPH is another. Now, some of these things, particularly with respect to BPH, that's avoidable. This happens with age. But the symptoms can be mitigated, you know, by certain techniques. And prostate massage can figure into that. We actually had there was a study that was done at Columbia University Medical Center. And there was a paper published on this that involved the use of our products. And it was found that it was effective in about 80% of the cases of people who used it for symptoms of BPH. And chronic prostatitis, as a matter of fact.
Did you say what BPH was? I missed it.
BPH is enlargement of the prostate.
Okay,
that's what it is. Yeah.
Hypertrophy.
And that's the one, like, as you get older, if you're a penis-owning individual and you're going to live to 60, 70, 80, like, your prostate just gets larger. And just like your ears, you grow more nose hair, and your nose grows too. Like,
so
all these
that's
interesting
what
parts.
It would get larger?
Yes.
I did not know that. Yeah. I don't know if we've ever, I don't know if I remembered that.
It's not necessarily always problematic, right? But I think that it's just a natural part of aging in life.
Huh.
I don't know why the system shows these parts of the body to grow. Maybe, you know, from forest, but
easier access.
You're right. Well, there you go. You would ask me also about what the prostate is and what you know, a little bit of background about it. It's a gland. It's about the size and shape of a walnut, and it's in men born with penises. It's located between the bladder and the rectum, and it serves two basic functions. First, it makes the fluid that's one of the main components of semen, and the other is it provides the pumping action, or a great deal of the pumping action, of an ejaculation. And lastly, it does have a muscle inside of it, a sphincter, that to be more specific, that actually controls the flow of urine. So it's important, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of a bodily function.
So wait, so if bacteria gets in there, because you talked about that a little bit, does that happen just because I know, okay, I'm a woman, I have a vulva, and I can get a UTI, for instance, right? So from sometimes bacteria getting into the urethra somehow. Yes. So is that similar to why folks will get some sort of infection or bacteria? I know it's not the same track, but is it related to?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it happens in a similar way. And the thing of it is that if it happens with more regularity, that's when chronic prostatitis starts to occur. Now, it's not just definition, just because, you know, it's happening more often, but it's believed that as we have inflammation in any part of the body, by the way, there are calcium deposits that occur. This is sort of a normal process of inflammation. And these deposits are left in the tissue. And those in time, when they accumulate in the prostate, it can be irritating. And so it's felt that may be one of the things that leads to chronic prostatitis. But in truth, there is, at this point, there is, you know, no conclusive factor on that. There really isn't. And if you talk to a urologist about it, it's one of the things that they least like about their job, because it's a difficult thing to treat.
Mm, okay.
Time for a quick break so we can tell you about our carefully chosen sponsors.
Please stay tuned and buy their products, because we only tell you about what we love and what we truly believe in, and it helps keep this podcast free to you.
So with the antibiotics piece, so if you are experiencing, I know we're not doctors, however, sometimes you said you experienced some of the, you didn't have it in large prostate, but you had the prostatitis. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So if you're experiencing, what is it, like frequent peeing, frequent yes. urination, or
burning. Yeah, how do you know?
Sensation? Yeah. Right. What are the symptoms that you should look at to know if you have any of those types of situations happening?
Again, it's going to be frequency of urination. It's going to be burning. When you do urinate, burning, even when you're not urinating, that can be part of it. In some cases, it can get to blood, you know, in the urine, but that's pretty extreme.
Yeah.
But that can happen. And again, there are, if it is simple bacterial prostatitis, that's treatable. And it's something that usually it's a course of therapy. It lasts from anywhere between 2 to 4 weeks. And they usually put you on something that's pretty heavyweight too. But it's pretty effective at doing that. It is. But these other conditions, not necessarily so. So, you know, again, getting back to September, it's good for people to be aware of this. And, you know, we also try to enlighten people about going and seeing a urologist or seeing a GP that will do a digital rectal exam. There's really, you know, there's no harm in this. And there are plenty of people that are out there that will, you know, that will tell you that not getting this done, you know, regularly can be a real mistake. Mm-hmm. It really can.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we're on top of our health. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're all advocates for checking ourselves, yourselves on a regular. Urology is amazing. We've had such incredible urologists on the show, and all the information, it's all related, especially when it comes back to sex, right? And sexual pleasure, and getting back to why it's important to regulate what's happening with your urine stream, or, you know, when you're, you know, going number two, all of the things, they're all connected. So let's bring it to the sexy time and to pleasures when we're talking about sex. How does the prostate tie into sexual pleasure? Is it some sort of sensory organ? Does it know everything? What does it do? Is it your third eye and your butt?
Well, in the most strict sense, it's, as I mentioned, it's a gland. It's an exocrine gland. So it's something that actually secretes a substance outside of the body, like sweat glands, okay? But there are some very important sensory nerves that traverse over the top of the prostate. One is the cavernous nerve. Now, this is the one that is responsible for erection, okay? And obviously, that is very, very important. In addition to that, there also appear to be sensory nerves that are associated with the prostate itself. Now, you won't find this in the literature unless you really dig hard. It's funny because about 8 years ago, I went to my urologist and I asked him about this point blank, you know, assuming that there was, you know, a sensory nerve that was involved in, you know, in the prostate. And he says, it's not a sensory organ. There are no sensory nerves there. Now, I chuckled to myself, okay, because obviously I know different. You know, I've had, you know, by that point, it was like, you know, 15 years of prostate stimulation. So I know I'm feeling sensation there, you know. There's no question about that. In addition to that, there is quite literally tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people who have contributed to our forum over the years, you know, who will stand witness to the fact that there are, you know, sensory nerves that are there. So there's a lot of anecdotal information there. But up until about 6 years ago, again, there was really no hard evidence on this. But at that point, there was a researcher by the name of Barry Komisarok, and he did some work on mapping sensory input from specific areas of the body to specific areas of the brain. He worked with people with uteruses at one time. This was back around the 2000s. And he essentially, what he did was, is he wheeled people into an MRI, and he would have these people stimulate themselves to orgasm. And he, you know, looked at where the location on the brain was, where the orgasm occurred on the brain. He published a book called The Science of Orgasm. If anybody wants to get into that, it's I think it's still available on Amazon. But again, some years ago, he started looking at the situation with people with prostates. And his whole approach was to try to map certain areas of the body, certain erogenous zones of the body with areas on the brain. So he looked at three areas of the penis. He looked at the scrotum. He looked at the perineum. He looked at the anus. And he looked at the rectum. And he looked at the prostate. And all of these mapped to a particular location, but they were all discrete. They were all distinctly different in terms of how they showed up in the brain. So to answer the question, you know, in my opinion, it is a sensory organ, you know, but I think that it's something that'll probably, you know, show up in the future texts, because I think some of this knowledge is just getting out there.
I mean, how do we define sensory organs? It's that it has nerve endings and sensations, and it's obviously an organ because it serves specific purposes. I mean, without it, you don't have a lot of fluid for the semen to move through. Although when someone has a vasectomy, they get prostate fluid, but no semen. So, you know, it's doing mm-hmm. some things. And obviously, which brings us to our next question with you about the pleasure piece. People have had multi-orgasmic experiences, including you. And I believe you've talked about this on the past three episodes, but let's talk about it again because it's awesome and everyone should know about this. So multi-orgasmic experiences for penis owners. Can you tell us a little bit more about how the prostate plays into this from your own experience and what you've heard from all of these people that have written in about this?
Well, I'd be delighted to. You know, it's again, for penis owners, there is a far greater pleasure potential than they know, a far greater orgasmic potential than they know. And I really spent the last several decades of my life trying to get that information out there because I think that people should know about that. But for the most part, folks born with penises are limited in their knowledge of this. And for them, you know, pleasure begins and ends with the penis. And it's the same for the orgasm. Most guys believe that orgasm and ejaculation are one and the same, when in fact, they are two separate phenomena, okay? So, you know, to understand this, I tell people that ejaculation occurs as a result of orgasm, not the other way around. So if you do some research or some personal exploration on this, you find it's possible to separate these two things. So, you know, but why would anybody want to separate them? That's what I've time and time again, people ask me that. Because when you do, you remove the lid on the size, the location, the duration, and number of orgasms you can experience in a given amount of time. You know, these can be massive orgasms that you experience all over your body, orgasms that last for minutes at a time instead of seconds. And you can repeat them consecutively with little or no time in between. So in this way, we believe that it's a superior type of orgasm, you know, with seemingly no limit to it. And for that reason, we call it a super O.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So these are the orgasms that were, you know, discussed in the teaching of the Tantra and Taoist thousands of years ago. And they're real. And we feel it's time for people to really start talking about them. Mm. So why is it that more people don't know about them? Well, first, it's the simplicity of an ejaculatory orgasm. Guys find out about that, you know, early in their youth, and they access it easily and as frequently as possible. Through repetition, you know, their bodies become accustomed to achieving pleasure in that way. And it's almost like autopilot, you know, fulfillment at times. But by contrast, this other type of orgasm, it can be a little bit more elusive, okay? And so it's something that you have to approach with some patience and to achieve really sensation with it and to achieve arousal and later, you know, climax with it. The other aspect that can be a limitation is the method of access to it. By far, you know, we feel that the short track is through, you know, by the prostate. And as you know, there are some guys that are averse to anal stimulation. And therein, you know, lies some of the limitation to it. Why is that better, you know, prostate stimulation? Because it produces sensations that lead to arousal and orgasm without ejaculation. You know, why not use the penis? The answer is pretty simple there, because people who have penises, their bodies are hardwired to ejaculate that way. And it turns out that disengaging that response can be pretty difficult, you know. So we feel that this is the better way to go. The good news is that once you become accustomed to generating orgasm without ejaculation, it becomes an easier place to go. You know, it's like an address that you've been to many times before. With time, it's possible to use different kinds of stimulation to achieve, you know, all sorts of different kinds of super orgasms. And to use different areas of your body, you know, nipple orgasms, very, very common. I love that myself. And even more powerful than that, over a period of time, you can use thought to do that. And that's when you get into a really cool area. And it's something that I think that escapes a lot of people about our products is that you can graduate to, you know, not using the product at all. And some people do this, you know, and I'm not trying to steer people away from our product by any means. But what I'm saying is that it is a learning tool. It is a learning tool for you to get in touch with your body in a totally different way. And after a period of time, it's possible for you to have a mind-body connection that supersedes everything. And I think that that's really what people want to come to. Because with that, I mean, that has implications in terms of, you know, how somebody interacts with a partner, you know, during intercourse, you know, during oral, during everything. I mean, you can take it to a completely different level. You know, when a man is multi-orgasmic, he can have an erection and he can have orgasm and not lose his erection. Okay. So the opportunities, the potential is just, it's limitless. And so my feelings, again, what I try to do is to get people to think about, you know, getting outside the box that they're in. Mm-hmm. The first thing that you have to do is kind of convince them that they are in a bit of a box.
Right. You're stuck in a box. Here's some options.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that can be really tough because, you know, again, you know, I've had a lot of people say to me, it's just like, hey, this is too easy, man. You know, I'm talking about, you know, an ejaculatory orgasm, and it is. And I'm not knocking them. I'm not. I mean, that has its place too. Mm-hmm. You know, and I will tell you that having an ejaculatory orgasm after having 15 non-ejaculatory orgasms, it will be the most powerful experience, you know, of a traditional type that you've ever had in your life.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I have a question that is like, when you say we, are you talking about the Anaros family or the researcher? Because you've said we, you know, you're like, we feel, and I'm like, who's we? Is it Forrest and all of the forum folks? Or who is the proverbial we?
It's generally Forrest and the forum folks, yes.
Okay, got it.
I speak to that from the accumulated knowledge that I have, you know.
I love that. I just wanted to know. I was like, wait, who's we? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we, you speak French?
No, it's, you know, I should put this out there. The company itself has, for the most part, had a really kind of hands-off approach to the development all of this. It's quite a mythic, you know, quality to orgasm and to achieving orgasm. And, you know, that all came about in the forum. That came out about in the interaction between people in the forum. So, you know, the company has been tremendous from the very start in terms of you know, having this place for people to go. But this isn't something, you know, that they try to actively manipulate or, you know, force one direction or another. You know,
it's not pay to play. People are honest and real.
It's been very organic from the very start, and it really hasn't changed. I mean, the only thing that changes is, you know, sometimes the buttons on the forum, or they get a new forum or something like that. But outside of that, it's always been self-policing from the very start. And that's really kind of amazing, because I think in the history of that forum, we have had, I don't know, maybe two or three trolls in 20 years. I mean, that's nice. That's pretty amazing.
You'll have to tell folks.
You haven't made it unless you've had a troll.
Right. Well, yeah. Right. There's always trolls. And you'll have to tell folks, but we have some more questions, but at the end, where they can find the forum, because I think that's important. I don't know if we've spoken to that before, but we'll get there.
Time for a quick break to talk about one of our sponsors, who just so happens to be our absolute favorite lube, UberLube. UberLube is a luxurious silicone lubricant, and it enhances intimacy. It's there when you want it, and it blends in when you're done with it, so you have control over that lube. It's long-lasting and leaves the skin extra velvety, and honestly, y'all, I want it all over my body. Thousands of doctors in the U.S. are recommending UberLube to their patients. It's body-friendly, less likely to change the pH, and it has vitamin E, so it feels extra moisturizing.
There's a reason why we've been a fan of UberLube for years. There's no flavor or scent. It's even great for oral sex, everyone. But it's not just great for sex. You can use it for massage, your hair. You can prevent chafing. It even brings out the colors of your beautiful tattoos. And the bottle is absolutely gorgeous. It looks more like a cosmetic, so you can leave it anywhere shamelessly for easy access. Just go to uberlube.com and use the discount code SHAMELESS10 to get 10% off and free shipping. Again, that's UberLube.com right now with code SHAMELESS10 for 10% off and free shipping. This podcast is also brought to you by OMGS.com. Join over 1 million people who are experiencing more pleasure with OMGS. They take scientific research of thousands of vulva owners, showing techniques to pleasure that pussy. They turn this research into tasteful, educational short videos, animated modules, and infographics. OMGS is for anyone who wants to learn about vulva pleasure or take it to the next level. Want to take your orgasms from good to out of this world? Then check out OMGS. Or if you're a vulva lover and want to up your pussy pleasuring skills, then you need to check out OMGS.
I've personally been recommending OMGS to my clients for years, and it's completely changed their lives. They have three seasons: external pleasure, internal pleasure, and sex toys. It's not a subscription service, and you don't need to download a thing. OMGS also makes a fabulous gift, and your purchase supports more pleasure research. So just go to omgs.com/shameless to get 10% off right now. Again, that's omgs.com/shameless to receive 10% off, unlimited access towards enhancing your pleasure power. The link is in the episode's description.
We have a few more questions for you because we have you here. Mm-hmm. Thank you for defining the we. I was curious, and I just wanted to make sure I understood. Right.
Mm-hmm. No, I appreciate that. Yeah, definitely. Cause it allows me to get this out there. I know that sometimes people, it's funny because, you know, as I say, I started as a user, and so now I work with the company, and I had one or two people ask me, you know, if anything has changed in terms of how I approach any of this. The answer is no. It really hasn't, except for the fact that now that I'm in much more of a power position to affect, you know, certain things, you know, changes that I need, you know, made on any particular product. So that I really do appreciate. But
is this like when you texted me yesterday the wrong message was supposed to go to someone else, and it was like talking about the like certain colors of products, and I think you sent this to the wrong person.
No, that was my ex-partner. He gets me some freebie printer supplies from
printer supplies. I was like, is there gonna be an Aneros in yellow? Because I got a text about it just now.
You have to send it out as larger
now. I thought it was special.
That was awesome. So let's get back to, thank you for explaining that for us.
Sure.
Let's get back to something that I think is important, because surrounded in prostate play is definitely a lot of preconceived notions, especially from cis men. Let's talk about, you know, a lot of penis owners that born with penises and are cis men. They identify as a cis male. So, and I want to say something too to folks out there. The other day I was exploring my partner's prostate and I couldn't reach it with my fingers. And I tried to try it. I was like, just, and he'd probably be mortified if he knew that I was telling everyone in the world about this.
I think it makes it more awesome. Just saying, but
yeah. And I was like, I need a Neros toy. And I was thinking about that because I did want to explore because my fingers, for some reason, and I don't have like extremely small fingers, and this might be diverting from the actual question, because my question is about advice for people, especially that own penises, that want to explore their prostates but have fear. But also, if you're a partnered with a prostate owner and maybe you can't reach it, or you have a fearful partner and you've listened to this podcast and you want to sort of initiate the conversation about prostate exploration, do you have any advice for both of those tiers? Not for maybe for someone with short fingers like me, maybe just getting a Neros product, but also for folks out there with penises that have fear around having something in their butt.
Yeah, actually, my answer would be the same. And I know it seems self-serving, but I would say that getting one of our products really should be your first stop. And let me explain why. As you said in the intro, okay, this is an anally driven product. So it's something that once you insert it, it finds its own place inside the body. You use your own contractions to massage your prostate. So there's not a possibility of hurting yourself. You can't use too much pressure with this. That's one of the things that people fear, and that sometimes does come, you know, true, is that if they're doing this with the partner will push too hard, or if they're using some kind of a handheld device, sometimes they can get into trouble with that. One of the reasons is that most of these products, the handheld devices, what you don't realize is that it's kind of the physical property of a lever arm, okay? So point is that a small amount of movement that you make with the wand on the outside translates into a lot of torque inside. And so you may not be aware that you're putting more pressure than you should, you know, on the prostate. In general, we don't believe, you know, our philosophy is that the prostate responds better to subtle stimulation, subtle to moderate stimulation. It's not, you know, it doesn't do well with being hammered. As a matter of fact, with stronger stimulation, the prostate actually starts to desensitize. It's much like one's nipples, okay? It feels really good at, you know, a certain level. But if you keep going with the same kind of stimulation and you don't break it up in a particular way, you get into what's known as a negative feedback loop, where you're now putting more pressure to get the sensation you had moments ago and on and on. And that's when you can get into trouble with it. So I don't recommend that people use wands of that sort. I know that there's one, yeah, I'm sure you guys know the Enjoy wand, a terrific product for an advanced user, definitely. Or somebody who has experience with prostate and anal play. Definitely not for somebody who's just getting into this for the first time. And we have several products that are really good for that. The MGX is great. The Helix or the Sin versions of both of those are probably really good because they're nice and smooth. And they make, you know, introduction and into the body much, much simpler.
So, I've actually had an experience with the Enjoy Fun Wand through some many years ago where I, you know, whipped it out and was using on someone else to try to get to the prostate. And they're like, really intense. And I was like, oh, yes. Yeah, it's stainless steel. It's a great product.
It's a great product.
So were you just like kind of like thrusting it?
I think I was trying to like just do a little bit of like come hithery thing.
Right.
But like Forrest said, a little bit is a lot. And it's not my body.
And that's angled. And that one's angled. So again,
it's not vulva or vagina. You can't kind of like pound it. That's a good point.
They're great toys. I mean, I love stainless steel. Like you said, they're more intermediate or advanced, but I would also think that you would probably want to get a feel for using on your own body first, because it doesn't have a lot of room to give. And then maybe you can do partner play. Whereas with the Neros, another thing I really like about Neros products, they're not big and scary. They're not like, what is this huge toy? It's like, it's their, you know, they're compact and to the point and have a specific design for health and pleasure that is brilliant. And we had a whole display at Pure Pleasure when we were the brick and mortar, and we still sell them online, but they, you know, we had what, 5 or 6 products that took up just, you know, one shelf, and none of them are like, oh my God, what is that thing? What is that? The weird butt plug thing.
It was, since it was the beginning of the store.
Yeah. We always carried it.
Always. Yeah. And then like these, one of the top.
Yeah.
Like
new iterations would come out. And the other thought that came to me was, I think you're, maybe you're the same too, April. I think you'd say, I have not really been into non-human things inside of my pussy, but in the ass, that's a different story. And I'm more into non-human things outside of my pussy, like love vibrators. But I think, so I just had an experience last night with just playing
what
with
other non-human
myself.
Things?
Sex toy, a sex toy.
I know, but what other things?
Sex toys. Okay. I don't like. Historically, cucumbers and carrots.
Anything other than vegetables. Sex toys or flesh things.
Historically, I have not liked non-human things such as sex toys inside of me, my pussy. They haven't really done much for me because I think other people have used it on me, or I've tried it on myself and nothing has really happened. And it just reminds me of what you said, Forrest, of like. That part of like, it doesn't have a lot of room to give, and you know, a little bit can feel like a lot. And so I feel these things that don't have a lot of bend. But last night, actually, with myself, was using a vibrator on my clit and using that Joylux thing that they give us.
The infrared.
I didn't have the infrared on, just one of the curves. And I was like, and I was seeing how I was able to kind of massage my G-spot, G area, and then also use my vibrator at the same time. And actually really liked it and it enhanced the orgasm, but I was in control of it. Whereas someone else was, they were doing that to me. And I think the G-spot G area is very, like embryologically the same as the prostate, right? Yes. If they were doing that to me, I'd be like, ow, you're poking me. So I think it's like self-discovery on your own. And which brings me to this question about newbies. You know, people that are new, and I'll bring it to intermediate too, because we're talking about, we just talked about all of those. I think you just named a couple of products. I remember, didn't we always recommend the MGX as kind of the newbie toy?
Yeah, that was the first go-to when at the store level in 2008 to 2000 when I worked there. And then I don't know now.
I think the MGX
is like an oldie but goodie.
Yeah. And so those are the questions within that are, and this can apply to Naros products and also to other things. But if I'm new to prostate play and I'm like, I want to play with my prostate, what, you know, how do I get started into it? Maybe I got through the fear piece of like, I think, and I just want to say, so the thing with the fear piece, the anal thing, for a lot of people have had negative experiences and of something that felt like too much, too fast, too soon, or there's the stigma around it. And like, if you can actually like explore it slowly with yourself, maybe some good stuff would be there. So if I want to do that, I'm new, what would you recommend with the Naros products and then other things? And then if I'm intermediate or advanced, what Naros products would apply to me if I want to explore?
Well, to start off with, I think you kind of covered this a little bit. I think you have to kind of broach that anal, you know, aspect to it to start off with. You do. We have one product that I tend to recommend. Actually, we have two products that I recommend for people who need to break the ice, as it were. One of them is called the Paradise, and they're actually two small stimulators. They are anal stimulators. They're not much, I mean, there's kind of like large golf tees without the point, you know, and it's a very interesting toy because once it is in, it's basically made to reside in the anal canal. It's not a prostate stimulator, and it is at the largest. I mean, it's the size of one's little finger, and
it doesn't vibrate, right? Or is it a vibrate?
Well, it achieves kind of a natural fluttering motion.
Oh.
It's balanced in such a way that it's balanced so it's weighted inward, and the anal sphincter tends to kind of make it teeter inside the anal canal is the way that it goes. And so what we suggest is that people insert one of these and then, you know, enjoy themselves in some other way in addition to it. So it becomes something that's like a supplemental type of, you know, stimulation for them.
So this can apply to all asses, though, right? This is not for necessarily prostate owner, all ass owners, which is
This is unisex. This particular product is, okay? There's one other one that we have called the UFO. And this is kind of an interesting one because
that one. I love that. Yes.
This, for many years, we sold this as an advanced users product. We still do, okay? And from the time of its introduction, when I was just a product testing and consulting with the company, I'd suggested to them that they need to also offer this as an introductory product as well. Why? Because it's a lot smaller in terms of girth, in terms of the diameter of it, than any of the other products. And so it's a terrific product as an icebreaker. One of the things is what this is known for is actually generating some of the most subtle stimulation of all of our products. It's also one of the more responsive, the most actually responsive products that we make. So if the stimulation is subtle, if it is small, that's something that that a newbie can get behind or can get in there behind, you know, without any difficulty. Yeah. So that's one that we're now, again, I was mentioning, you know, now that I'm, you know, on board here as the director of product development, that's something that I changed. And so this is something that we put out to people who are new to prostate play as well.
Nice. And I think that how many total products does Anaeros make now? I mean,
14.
Oh. So mm-hmm. it's kind of amazing because you still have the flagship products yes. that really made Anaeros, which from the medical side to now the more it's novelty. However, there's all of these beautiful benefits that you can receive from having an Anaeros product. And a lot of them, the majority of them, don't vibrate at all, but they all have yeah. such a purpose. And I think yes. that's really important to highlight because yes, for prostate owners out there, I think just having an Anaeros product, they're thin, they're small if you're a newbie or you're intermediate or advanced, but having an Anaeros product is really a game changer for just maintaining your prostate health. And there's more research that's done all the time that I uncovered and Amy uncovered when we were doing our book research, because we realized that the amount of prostate, the amount of medical folks that are in there willing to kind of back up how important prostate massage isn't that vast because it's hard to get funding. But like there are companies like Anaeros and even other researchers that are so avid towards like the importance of prostate health and how prostate massage not only gives you this super O, but also can have these medical benefits. And I think that if it isn't going to damage you, why not try it, right? Yes. Ask your doctor if you have an enlarged prostate and so on, if you have the BHM.
BPM. Something that I mentioned too is there was a time when prostate massage was the gold standard of treating BPH, of treating prostatitis. It was really the only thing that they had. With the advent of antibiotics that were, you know, directed, you know, at the prostate in the 50s and the 60s, it kind of fell in, you know, into the back. But it was rediscovered because you had a lot of men like me who were experiencing chronic prostatitis that weren't having positive outcomes from any of the drug therapies that were out there. So you started to see holistic doctors, you know, that were using it in their practices. And now we're starting to see physicians that are doing it again.
Right.
This is
right.
after decades. And because they're looking for some, you know, alternative to treat their patients. There's one that I'm aware of that works out of UCLA. And he's used it in conjunction with antibiotic therapy. The mm-hmm. idea being that he increases the circulation in the gland at the time when he has, you know, the antibiotic on board. So you get better absorption into the prostate. So
that makes so much sense. Oh yes. My God, that's brilliant. And I'm yes. surprised that more people are not on board for that. Like where you were giving you something to help with a certain part of your body, but why not also bring blood flow there at the same time?
And absorption. Exactly. Like,
and it could feel good.
Exactly.
Yes.
Oh my God. Exactly.
That's the whole point. It's like, why yes. not try this prostate play? Get an Anaeros toy that is proven for decades decade plus to help folks massage their prostates. You can have a super O or multiple orgasms in conjunction with this prostate play. So I don't know why someone with a prostate, like if I had a prostate, let me tell you what I'd be doing. I'd be milking that shit all day.
The other thing too to keep in mind is that they're also really effective Kegel exercise devices.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great point.
The way that essentially what you do, the cool part about it is that it gives you sensory cues in terms of how, you know, strong your contraction is by the amount of pressure that it's putting on your prostate. And there are many guys who've been using these for years. And as you know, I mean, this is happening, this is coming out more and more. I mean, Kegel exercises are good for things like erectile dysfunction. Not all cases, but ones where, you know, circulation within the, you know, the pelvic floor muscles is an issue. Okay. Again, it improves pelvic floor muscle tone. It's great for people who have incontinence. Mm-hmm. So, and there's even some research out there that it may help people with premature ejaculation too. So
we call it ejaculatory challenges
or control issues
or control issues. Cause there's nothing premature about it. If you ejaculate, then a kola kavod, as they say in Hebrew, or good job. Mm-hmm. Right. Good for you.
Good for you. And if it feels like a challenge for you, or you identify as it being a control issue, like I can't control it, and that's an issue for me, then there you go. Go try out these other things. And I love that we live in an era with so many products available.
It's September, and Forrest told you all the reasons and more about why and how you can really support yourself or your partner that owns a prostate or your friends or whoever. So Forrest, how can all of them, how can people not only find the forum, because we actually have an address where you can find the forum, but if they want to find you, if they want to access the products that Aneros makes, or I don't know if you offer anything in direct relation to working with other folks, but please give us all of the ways that folks can find you.
Well, find me personally, it's tough these days because I do a lot of traveling.
Where do you live?
Where are you?
You don't have to talk. What's your address?
I'm on the West Coast. Then. It's no big secret, but they can contact me actually through support@aneros.com. You know, if they want to contact me personally, just address it to me in their email. And it's something that I always get them that way. Mm-hmm. It's much easier in terms of all of the, business, email address. That's all from manufacturers. And I also handle all of those duties too. Mm-hmm. So it gets a little bit crazy with that. But, I also wanted to point out too, if they want to, get in contact with the Aneros community. That is our forum. Just go to aneros.com and click on community, and you will see the forum that's in there. There's also the blog that's on there, and there's a chat that's on there. And there's a lot of other features that we have, and it's super cool. It's that way. One last thing that I did want to add in here too is we were talking about a lot of, you know, sort of prostate massagers in general. I want to make clear that our massagers are anatomically designed. Okay. So they work in harmony with your body. I can't tell you how many products that I see out there on the market that are 5 and 6 inches long. And it's just absolutely ridiculous. Clearly these people have no concept of anatomy because they're completely overshooting the prostate.
Stimulators forever. I was like, does anyone designing this have a clitoris? Because I don't fucking think so. This is not how
they're looking at it. They're looking at it on paper, and they just think, hey, doesn't this look cool? And we'll give this a shot. And it's absolutely ridiculous.
Remember like the old rabbits that were just straight.
Remember the beads that used to pinch the shit out of your internal vaginal canal?
Is not straight.
I was the pinching beads. I did not understand.
Yeah, and so the products that you all have, that like we said, they're like April said, beautiful, they're compact, and there's so many different shapes and varieties that you can get.
Yes.
We sell them all at purepleasureshop.com. Everyone gets 15% off with coupon code shamelesssex, although I do not know if we'll be able to carry the Maximus Sin Trident. And is that's a limited release? We might have it. I'm not sure.
It is a limited edition release. We have no plan at this point to put that into the product line permanently.
Yeah.
One thing that I will tell you is if your listeners or viewers want to actually win a Maximus Sin,
they can go to the forum.
We're doing a contest that's online. Okay. That they can do that. We might be able to do something here too, if you wanted to do that. I think we can work something out if you want to do that.
Yeah, let's do that. All the places.
Mm-hmm. We have a pre-release contest that's going this weekend, as a matter of fact. And so...
September, because this is coming out September 5th.
Labor Day.
September 5th is the air date.
We're in the past. No,
they will
be future.
Living in the past.
Yeah.
Time. What a concept.
Yes.
I think that they will miss it. For
okay.
That.
Well, no, we'll do it through Shameless Sex.
Yes, we will.
We'll do the Shameless Sex Instagram. Go to Shameless Sex Podcast. On Instagram.
Yeah. Well,
we'll give away some of the products there.
Yeah. We have to wrap it because we obviously lose people's ability to understand things after about an hour. And we're like, hey, we love you.
You lost me at 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You did nine.
However, we love you. We love you for listening. Forrest, you are incredible.
You.
Thank you so much for being here and for sharing more of your wisdom and being a product developer for an incredible company. You have so much to share with the world and so many more things to share with the world. I can't wait to see what else Anaros does. You always do really cool stuff.
Stay tuned.
Of course we will. And to all of our Shameless Sex listeners, remember our book, Shameless Sex, is out November 14th. You can pre-order the book right now. Go to shamelesssex.com. You click the link. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. And we give you a free gift. Amy and I doing a workshop that we spent a lot of time on. That's 30 minutes that will teach you how to be the best possible lover that you can be. Spice that up. All right. It's fun and it's well done. And yeah, we did it just for you. So check it out. It's also on local bookshops too. I never say that, but
it will be.
It will be. Well, no, it's everywhere right now on local bookshops.
It
links to Amazon, but we'll change it up every once in a while because we sell 10,000 copies. Guess what, y'all? We'll be New York Times bestsellers, which means that'll help more people find folks like Forrest, folks like the educators that we have on our show. Rate us on iTunes, Spotify, if you have time. If you don't have time, still rate us because we love you. And we'll see you next Tuesday for another episode. Check us out on YouTube, too. We love you. Ciao for now.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.